look who is on the phone with me calling from a closet. It's the Tattooed Mormon. It's Al. And let me make sure I get this right now because it's not Fox anymore. Caraway?
Caraway, you said it right. Look
nice.
At that.
Because it's not that difficult, but it could be Caraway, I guess.
Oh, no, I get something different every time, so this is great.
So what else do you get?
Well, people just sort of guess because they don't fully remember. We get Caraway and Cardaway and...
Oh, I like, well,
I don't know.
I like Cardaway.
So, I mean, you could say that.
Okay. But you decided to just forgo the fox, huh?
Yeah.
Done with the fox. No more what the fox say, it's what the Caraway.
I mean, it's a great last name, but yeah, you just embrace. You embrace your next chapter and your husband, and it's fun.
So let's go there. When last we chatted, if we take a trip back in the old, you know, time machine as we were, the last we chatted, we talked a lot about when you first came to Utah, how you joined the church, and how the missionaries got you a steak dinner, which still is my favorite part of that story. I mean, the spiritual part is great as well, but props to the elders who were like, yeah, she said a steak dinner? You bet. We'll get her a steak dinner.
Well, yeah, it's food. Food's always a winner.
Yeah. So. To not only the key to men's hearts, but few people know this, also the key to a woman's heart.
It's true.
So let's pick up at how you met your husband. Let's go there.
Oh, so I wrote him on his mission, and I didn't know him beforehand. That's just how it happened.
No, that can't be just how it happened. You don't just start writing an elder. Who introduced you? Who said you should write this guy?
Okay, the real version.
Yes, not don't.
Yeah.
No, I really want
Philly.
The short. I want the short, boring version, please.
Oh wow. Well, okay.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Give me the long version. Give me the story.
He served his mission in Philadelphia.
Uh huh.
His mission was one of the 5 missions in the whole world that piloted Facebook. Are you rolling your eyes yet?
Yeah. No, I love this so far.
Okay. And so his whole mission added me because of my blogs and my YouTube videos. And so he added me along with his mission. And we started Facebook messaging each other about the church and about his investigators. And somehow it turned into I got forwarded his weekly emails to his family. And that turned into emailing every day because he was allowed on every day. And we didn't think we'd date. You know, we weren't, talking like that. And then he got home, and he called me that night. And our first date happened to be the temple, and now I know you're judging us.
So,
he had never been to the Salt Lake Temple. And so, as a friend, I said, you have to go. And so we went, and now he's stuck with me, and I refuse to say we met on Facebook, but...
Listen,
kinda.
But you own it. You met on Facebook. That's great. That's how I met my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not alone. Okay, yeah, so no judgment from you, at least.
No judgment for me. Plenty from
Listeners,
other people.
Be merciful on us.
but be honest with me. No sort of flirtation, or was his heart locked? Let's be serious. Let's be honest. Locked
well,
heart?
Well, did I think I was flirting at the time? No, but as I go back and read some of the messages I sent him, I'm like, holy cow, what was I doing? I mean, he was cute, but you never know by just pictures. They could be weird. They could be awkward.
Sure.
But it's just, it wasn't that way. So probably unconsciously on my end, maybe a little conscious.
And what does he say about it?
I hope I don't embarrass him. He was skeptical at first because I wrote him for a year and a half. But I actually made his journal a few times, and he was hoping that I would be single.
Mm-hmm.
And I was. Non-embarrassing version of his side.
No, that's great. I think that's cool that's how it is. But let me ask you this. Does that bring up any sort of concern that you might have towards as missionaries starting to use social media more that maybe they won't be able to be focused like you guys were?
Yeah, but not because of our example, but because where I'm from in Rochester, they were also a pilot. And, I mean, there's always going to be people who use it for the wrong reasons, but not just the internet, but anything you do in a mission, it could always be used the wrong way. So, I mean, if you're in that mindset, if you're just that kind of person, that's where you are in your life and your testimony and whatever, you'll find a reason to do something against the rules, whether it's Facebook or a phone or music or...
I'm sure
there's chances.
Or as companions...
There's chances anywhere.
Or as companions of mine who just went to the dance clubs themselves without me. That happened.
Yeah. Yeah, there's crazy stories that... But, I mean, it happens, and it happened whether you're on Facebook or not, I think.
Yeah. So you get home, and first date is the temple, right? So is it, we're just going to check out the temple, or did you guys?
We just cannonballed into it, you know? No, we did a session.
We just cannonballed. Come on, what do you think? I mean, we've been riding.
Cannonballed into a relationship.
Let's just do this thing.
So, yeah, we cannonballed into a session at Salt Lake Temple and had a steak afterwards.
Now, was it the same?
We've seen a theme here with steak.
Yeah, I am seeing a theme. My question is, same cut of steak as the missionaries bought you?
Well, they didn't even cook mine. So, I don't cook steak.
Uh-huh.
I don't really cook too much of anything, but if I were to cook it, it would be pretty much raw because that's how I eat my steak.
Yeah. So you guys hit a steak and then it's like, you want a date? Let's date. How about this dating
thing? Well, I told him not to date me. He said, hey, like, we should see where this could go. And I'm like, no.
Wait. Hang on. On the first date, he said, we should see where this will go?
No, it was our second date.
Oh, good.
Was the next day.
Good. So we waited a day.
And I told him no. I said, you need to go date other people. And he didn't like that answer. He said, I don't want to date other people. And I said, well, we'll see. So we just kept hanging out. And then about a month later, he brought up marriage. And I got so scared I didn't talk to him for the rest of the day.
Yeah, because this is a little bit, I mean, even though you're a member of the church and you've been now for how long?
4 months.
No. I've been a member of the church.
Oh, a member, 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, just over.
Yeah, so just over 4 years. So, I mean, though we've kind of indoctrinated you in some things, still the idea of a person getting married at your age, you kind of go, whoa.
Well, I mean, I'm about to be 26, so I'm not like super baby like you see out here often.
Right, but even hearing that attitude of super baby.
But getting married fast, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, my shortest relationship was 2 years. I said, if it takes me 2 years to find out I don't like someone, then I'm sure as heck not getting married within, you know, talking marriage within a month. So I got scared. I didn't talk to him for the rest of the day. But it was a little different because we talked for so long when we saw each other. We already knew pretty much everything about each other anyway. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit different. But then that thing called prayer happened, and then you realize that it's right. And the stars align, and the heavens open, and the chorus thing. Then you get married.
Was it like that?
Well, yeah.
No, I'm being serious. Was it like that, or was it like even after praying about it, you're still like,
it's not telling me no. It wasn't that I was unsure about my feelings with him, but I think like my logical non-member side kicked in, and I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, I can't tell people I'm getting engaged. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, you know, I mean, you just don't care. If it's right, if anything's right, go with it. So we went with it. We got married in August. And so he came home in February.
And broke the hearts of several people.
I don't know. He had a lot of angry ladies yelling at him. So maybe it was him more so than me.
I've seen the pictures of both you guys. I think that you're perfect for each other. And I'm sure that there were a lot of upset people on both sides.
Oh, well, that's nice of you.
And then, if I'm understanding right, if I'm reading into the Facebook posts, if I'm getting it right, you're having a baby.
Ah, yeah, we're having a baby.
How about that?
So I went against two things I said I'd never do. That I'd never marry fast, and I'd never ever have a baby anywhere even close to 2 years of being married. No way.
Uh huh.
Even the day before my wedding, my coworkers were like, enjoy your last week of being pregnant. And I yelled at them. I said, no way. But then, you know, that thing called prayer, and Heavenly Father wanted to do something, and I told him no for weeks, and then you listen to him. And then we had a baby a month later. So it's not a honeymoon baby. We got a month under our belt. And now I am my second trimester baby.
Jeez. Man, you gotta learn not to pray, I guess, right?
See, here's the thing. I get nervous praying sometimes because of the answers. Yeah.
It's got to be one of those things where you're like, listen, I know what the answer is. I'm not doing it.
So that's how it was. Like, I had an inkling. And I said, I'm not praying about that. Are you kidding? I literally fought it for like 2.5 weeks. And then I work in the temple. We work in a temple together. Sitting there on my shift, minding my own business, not thinking about the topic at all in the house of the Lord. And he made me listen anyway. So, but now, like, once you come to terms with that's what he wants you to do, and feel great. Like, we're so excited.
It's just stupid how excited we are.
It's stupid how excited. Like, I'm so excited.
Boy or girl?
I don't know yet.
Are you guys
hoping for a boy?
You gonna find out?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait.
I don't know. Some people are pretty fanatical about it. Some people are like, we've got a neutral room. We're ready for this, whatever it may be.
I don't know. We're gonna find out, and we're hoping for a boy because we like the name. But
you like a name? Oh, come on, Dish. What's the name?
Well, we like the name Crew.
Crew
Caraway.
Okay. How are we spelling Crew?
Just how it sounds. Crew.
Okay. Because some people would say, you could do Crew like the French-ish spelling, the CRU.
Yeah. We're not that wild. We're feeling wild, but not that wild.
Or like short for crouton. You could go that way and make it sound like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crouton. And people are like, even crouton?
Can I tell a secret?
Yes.
Not really a secret, but I'm going to say it anyways. We always said we'd name our first boy, if we ever had one, the middle name would be my dad, no matter what.
So it's going to be Crew My Dad Caraway?
Well, my dad's name is Thomas.
Oh.
So if you say it kind of sounds like it could be crouton, and we're hoping no one notices.
Crew Thomas? I like that. Yeah, it does a little. It does a little, but that's okay. Just so long as he never shortens it to Tom. It always has to be Thomas. Because Crouton Caraway, that's no good.
We're just hoping no one ever says it, his full name.
He'll just when the baby,
he'll just write it.
When the baby is blessed, he'll have to be very careful as how he pronounces it in the blessing, because otherwise people will be like,
my husband will be very articulate, so no one will catch it.
Now,
I don't know.
So
it's whatever.
So you're working for the church now though too, yeah?
Yes.
What are you doing for the church?
I do social media and graphic design for
Okay. How is that? That's gotta be pretty awesome.
It's so fun. It was like what I was doing on my own, but it's for the church now. So it's so much fun.
So what are the expectations then? What kind of stuff? Let's do a day working for the Mormon channel. Go.
A day? Well, I sit at a desk and I listen to music.
Oh, it's riveting so far. I love this.
I eat a lot of burritos.
Oh, yes.
With extra hot sauce and everything.
That's the pregnancy.
And no, that's just always.
Oh.
And, well, we're all over our platforms, so I manage all of the online platforms like Twitter and Tumblr and Facebook and Google+ and Instagram and just everything. So I find content, I design content, there it is.
How closely monitored are you guys by, the general authorities? Is there one over you, or how does that work?
I mean, there's a lot of levels, so it's not like I would ever talk to a general authority, but every general authority is over something in the church. And the 70 are pretty, there's always a 70 involved, but I never know about it.
So when you, this is just curious to me. So say you wanted to post something on Facebook, do you have to send it to someone to have it be approved? Is it that closely monitored?
No. I mean, there's guidelines, so you know what you can't and shouldn't do.
Uh-huh.
And then, I mean, I always have an outline of everything that's being published, so if there's ever, people could look at it and say, don't do that, or delete it. But that doesn't happen often, because you know ahead of time, and again.
Do you,
So it's definitely more restrictions than, if you did it on your own, but.
Do you feel like it's a kind of a calling as well as a job?
I don't know. I think I was given special, I don't know if I want to say talents, but kind of, I don't know if I'd say it was a calling, but it's definitely humbling working here and being able to do and think the way that I do to be able to have this position, because you get to hear and read comments and emails from people like, that video you posted yesterday came at the perfect time and it helped me with this and that, and just see that on such a large scale, outside of the U.S. Like, so I don't know if it's a calling per se, but I definitely feel humbled that I can do the things that I have to be able to work here and do it and see that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's fascinating too, as you've continued to do firesides and youth conferences and everything like that. And since we had you on the Cultural Hall a while back, people have actually gotten in touch with me. They're like, hey, can you get us in touch with us or with, Al, so we can get her on and have her, do this youth conference thing. And even just this last Sunday in church, it's almost to the point, and I don't want you to get big headed. Let's keep humble. But where it's like LDS celebrity status.
Because that's silly.
But go with me here for a second, because this woman was like, have any of you guys heard of the Tattooed Mormon? And I love that name, by the way. But then but then everyone in the room, oh yeah, she's got such a great story. Oh, we, you know, I've heard of this, or I read the article in Elias Living Here, or she's got this blog, you know, all these things. And I was like, this is really awesome. You know, pretty inspiring to think that, you know, 4 years, you know, 5 years ago, to see where your life was at then and to see where your life is now.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy because, well, one, I told them I would never even get baptized if people expect me to say a prayer in front of people, let alone talking sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
And then in college, I got straight A's, except one class. And not only was it not an A, but I completely flunked it, and it was public speaking. And so to see what on earth I'm doing now and speaking for like hour and a half and traveling to different states, just like Heavenly Father, he's pretty neat. Yeah, but it's crazy to see how things had happened, and some of it's kind of silly, but it's neat.
Yeah, it's neat, silly. I get you, but it's inspiring. I think it's cool. I think it's a way for you to connect and be able to help people, you know, that maybe wouldn't necessarily come to the church. But also, I think there's a huge, I don't know the word I'm trying to find, so I'll say thing. A huge thing to be said about, you know, your story and judgment and how we think that a member of the church needs to look, and how, you know, how we're not to look on the outward appearance. And I absolutely think that that's vital, especially for the church now.
Yeah, I think that's just the East Coast in me. It's just like you grow up and you learn to speak and not be shy and just be bold and say what you want. And luckily, what I say, what I want, I think is fairly decent, like, mm-hmm. and not crazy, absurd things. But, you know, when I was, you know, as I was learning about the church and to see what I was feeling, you know, regardless of what I was going through, but to resonate, to know that people have felt what I feel, whether it's from the same experience or something different, but someone's always felt judged, or someone's always felt sad, and always someone's felt that their prayers aren't being heard. And to think that people don't feel that way and people haven't felt how you felt is ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to, you know, just be bold about it and not be embarrassed or shy or quiet about it, and try and use it to help other people because they have felt that way. And so, yeah, our experiences are completely different. Like, my tattoos are completely irrelevant, but it's the feelings that I hope people resonate rather than just the story to help, you know, people when some people are afraid to talk about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Is your husband's pretty good, pretty supportive about the whole thing?
He's so great. Yeah, he's super great. I honestly think that he would actually be better speaking and doing what I'm doing than I would, just because he's that great.
He's got
better stories than I do.
What does he do?
He, like, literally, where is he in life?
Or yeah, like, just, where is he in life? What does he do?
He is a full-time student.
Yeah, there you go.
So.
Putting the honey through school. There it is.
Yep, he's going to school for business, so that is what he does. That was funny because we always joked saying we had a car courtship, because our whole entire relationship before we got married was every single day we were driving somewhere new, and he would hear me speak literally every day for months and months and months, and it just didn't faze him. Like, he's just super supportive and still is.
Is it ever, when you go to some of these places, do they ever, especially now that you're married, you know how like the stake president will speak and then his wife will speak for a minute or two, do they ever have you speak for the, you know, you be the headliner, as it were, and then have your husband say a few words?
There's a lot of people that have offered, like, hey, we really want you to speak, your husband can speak too.
Uh-huh.
but we haven't actually. He doesn't get treated that well, which... when we go and speak. So he's just number one sport because no one feels like they want to talk to him when we're together. And it's really sad, but...
So what do you mean? What? Let's talk about this for a second. So, like, everyone wants to talk to you and they just kind of...
Well, we're not treated equally, and sometimes it's really sad, and some people are more obvious and unconsciously really rude about it.
Huh.
So to say that he's really patient is like a big understatement.
but I think that that's probably the case with anyone. It's like, you know, if you go to you know, a basketball game and say, you know, you met, this is going old school obviously, but you met Michael Jordan and you met his, well, now ex-wife, but then wife, you'd be like, yeah, of course, who am I going to want to talk to?
Yeah.
You know, the one that I know stuff about, the one that I've watched, you know, countless games on TV, the one who I kind of follow. But that's too bad that he, you know, there's been situation where he feels like he's been terrible. People should be nicer to your husband.
Hey, be nice to my husband. He's cooler than I am.
And she's got tattoos, so she'll beat you up.
I could.
Yeah. when are you due? When's that happening?
July 1st.
Oh my gosh! And you're just loving it. It sounds like.
I just bought my first pair of maternity pants. I feel like a new person. So yes. And I'm staying up past 7 o'clock at night. So this is good news too.
Are you slowing down anything on the speaking, or are you still just everywhere?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've slowed down considerably. I think I've only done a handful. I unfortunately had to cancel a lot due to several things. You know, my job and being married and being pregnant. You know, me and John, by the way, flew to California for a conference and spoke together, and that was fun, but nothing too large as of right now, just on my own doing.
Planning on picking that up after the baby is born, or are you taking some time? Is it a...
You know, we'll see. And it's not necessarily because I'm married or because I'm having a baby, but I think I definitely put it on hold, not on hold, but definitely on the back burners. Just because I feel like there should be something else to explore and do, whether it be write a book or just be a wife for a little bit and have that calling. Because, you know, being a wife and a mom, that's the greatest calling ever.
And the hardest calling.
I know, but we're not going to talk about that right yet. So, I mean, because that was just so time-consuming, and I was single, and I could do it. I could do it then. And it was actually really interesting because how I made it to Utah was I wanted to go on a mission. That is what I wanted to do. And my answer was to move here instead. And, of course, I didn't like that answer, and I fought him, but the theme of today was, he knows, and you just get over it, and you do it.
Stop praying and thinking differently. He'll tell you.
So I actually received a blessing, a priesthood blessing, saying, this was a mission that I tailored for you. Speaking, it was for you. It was your mission, and your mission's coming to an end. And I said, okay.
Well, there you go.
So speaking's not completely over, but I am going to record it. And so we'll have that, like the whole talk available on maybe YouTube or an MP3, or if I'm feeling ambitious, maybe Deseret.
Yeah.
So that'll be available. And so I'll keep doing everything that I'm doing, but just maybe different outlets. I don't know. We'll see. Prayer leads you in a million different directions.
That's great.
So we will see.
Woohoo! Lastly... What was I gonna? Oh no! Here we go. This is my last thing. And as I was driving down here to do this interview with you, I was not on my phone and driving. That's not what I'm admitting to right now. But
I'm judging you.
But I happened to look at the domain The Tattooed Mormon, and it's available. And I think that you should purchase it.
No.
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to move away from that.
I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there.
I'm under the impression that that's what I'll forever be known as, but it wasn't a nickname I intentionally gave myself. It was just a blog title I thought people would be intrigued by, and I didn't think it would be a nickname, but now I can't escape from it.
And so I think you should spend $12.99 and go with what everyone else is telling you and just be like, yeah, you know what, I'm more than this, but... It's easy.
Someone else can take the title. If anyone else feels inclined to take that domain, you can.
All right. I'll buy it and I'll squat on it, and then I'll sell it back to you for $500.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Is there anything else we should know? Anything else going on? What's the latest on the Mormon channel?
Mormon channel, go add them on Facebook because the content is great. So you should do that in Instagram. And if you don't know what we are, go Google it.
Who's the boss of the Mormon channel?
Who do you mean?
We're
all equally great.
No, but is there like great. Is there one boss that is like, hey, I'm in charge of all the programming of Mormon channel?
No, it's dished out to different people. Okay. I mean, because it's radio. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people on the radio side. And then there's me, and I have an assistant on the social media side, but then there's like, I mean, because we work hand in hand with Mormon Messages. Mormon Messages always comes to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also part of their team, and, well, their meetings. I don't produce anything or anything. So we're all intertwined and all do different roles, and we're all super united with everything. But everyone's great.
Well, then
you have a lot of great people.
You got to do this for me then, because I want to talk to someone with the Mormon Channel. And I know it gets a little sketchy once we start to get involved with, like, official things of the church and then unofficial things with the church.
Yeah.
So if there's someone that I can talk to and be like, hey, you know what, let's get you on and talk about what the Mormon Channel aims to do and all that stuff.
They would love that. Mormon Channel is super great. There's not too many people. Well, I mean, a lot of people know about it, but I think the biggest thing is awareness, not how great we are.
Yeah.
I think people just don't know who we are. So they would love that.
Yeah, so line that up and then send me who that is, and we'll get that in a future episode of the Cultural Hall.
Okay, we can do that. In the meantime, you can read my blog.
Yeah, let's do it. Tell
read your scripture.
That's the tattooedmormon.com, right?
Soon to be.
No, I'm kidding.
Run by the Culture Hall.
Yeah, what's the website? What's your blog?
It's long and obnoxious. Just Google Al Fox. I made a name, and it'll pop up.
See? The Tattooed Mormon is so much easier.
Well, I didn't. When I started my blog, I didn't think anyone would read it. If I knew someone was actually going to read it, I would have named it something better. So because people read it, I just say Google my maiden name.
Well, and it's not even your name anymore. That's the thing. You don't even go by Al Fox. That's where we started.
I know, but people can't make that transition. People are holding on. People will hold on to it for forever. It's just Al Fox.
This is a fight for another day.
So I just nicely try and implant my transitions onto other people. Caraway and
does your husband ever go? Does your husband ever when people come up after the things Al Fox and he goes Caraway? Her last name's Caraway.
No, he's really good about it. But I usually always not in a rude way because I'm not. I feel like I'm never rude, but people come up to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really familiar with him because of my Instagram now and our family blog that we have. But they'll be like, oh, are you Al Fox? And I'll smile and I'll hug them. And I said, yes, but now it's Caraway. And they're like, oh, great. And then it's just not a thing. But yeah. It's my little slip of awareness.
I love it.
So.
All right. Well, you can then Google search Al Fox for the time being. I won't boss you. I won't try and push you. I'll just encourage you to pray about it, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Best of luck over there working for the church too. That's really cool. And continue to excess with little crew, Thomas Caraway.
Well, hopefully.
No, I'm throwing it out there. I'm throwing it out there.
But if it's a girl, we'll be happy with a girl. Just for the record.
Okay. But what's the girl's name? Do we have a girl's name?
It's not set in stone because we were really hoping for a boy, but we played with the name and kind of like Aspen.
Okay.
So there's Aspen, that one.
Aspen Caraway is great. You have my permission.
Oh, thanks.
Good.
It's because we found our wives or our spouses on Facebook.
Exactly. Exactly. See, we have to check in with each other. And if I decide to have a child, boom, I'm calling you. All right. All right. Hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.